بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, with Allah's fadl and karam, we continue our majlis that we have on a Mondays. And today the topic of discussion is on tarbiyat of our children. Now this is a topic that has been discussed previously. We hear it all the time, but we still require some reminder to refresh in ourselves, because this is a big problem today. People keep on complaining about their children, behavior of the children, or they've gone far away from deen and they require some guidance. It is said that if you want to be in the good memories of your child, if any parent who wishes to be in the good memories of his child tomorrow, then he has to be in their life today. Now this is where we have a problem, that we do not play our role as parents. We do not make this the correct tarbiyat and nurturing, and then we expect miracles to happen. When there is such an increase in the rate of drug addicts amongst our youth, boys and girls, we heard the other night the program we had, mashallah, with the jamaat that came. But there's an increased rate of so many youngsters taking drugs, alcohol. So much of zina has been taking place. And therefore, we require to play our role as parents. And every one of us, whether the person is an alim, he's got children, you can be a mufti, you can be a sheikh, you can be imam of a masjid, you can be a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O those who believe, O anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, save yourselves first and your children from the fire of Jahannam. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahab has mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. It's a very beautiful way in which Allah Ta'ala is addressing us. Allah is calling out to us. When you call out to some person, you can call him by his name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu. So several places in the Quran, Allah has addressed us in this manner. Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that this call, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, Ya iman wala, this is a call full of affection and muhabbat. Full of affection. As I mentioned, one way of calling a person is by his name. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called us as believers, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A father can call his son by his name, whatever his name is. And he can even call his son, like how we say in Urdu, beta, pyara, oh my beloved son. So there is some affection in this call of the father. Hazrat Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahmatullahi alayhi was a relative of Mufti Taqi Usmani, and of course his father Mufti Shafi Sahab. So he would come and visit Mufti Shafi Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi frequently. He used to come to visit Mufti Shafi Sahab, the father of Mufti Taqi Sahab. And Mufti Shafi Sahab's mother was also the aunt of Mullah Shabir Ahmad Usmani. So when he used to come, she used to call him Piara or Beta, oh my son. And he used to take great enjoyment in this. This elderly aunt of his calling him Oh, my son. So she used to call him son. And she would make long du'as for him. She would give him a lot of du'as. So Mufti Taqi Sahib says that when we should hear our grandmother calling Mullah Shabir Ahmad Uthmani, who was a very great alim. He was known as Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani. Allama. Not an ordinary alim. So everybody would call him Allama or Hazrat. And here, his aunt is calling him Beta. So we should find it a bit strange. But Allama Uthmani used to say that I should come for two reasons. One was to meet Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And the other one, just to hear this aunt of mine calling me Beta. Because I used to enjoy this. Nobody else in the world called me Beta besides this elderly aunt of mine's. So from this we understand that Muhabbat Allah Ta'ala calls out to us. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, throughout the Quran. We just read it, oh those who believe, oh ye who believe, hey iman walo, and we just continue. But there's so much of piyar and Muhabbat in these words. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves and your family from the fire of Jahannam. The fire of Jahannam is such, وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ, that its fuel, the fuel of this fire, is annas, people, and stones. So to kindle this fire and make it blazing, like how we throw some charcoal, like that, people are thrown into Jahannam. And this will kindle Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala save us. Allah says, عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ. They are very severe, strong angels guarding over Jahannam. لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. These angels never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah commands them, وَيَفْحَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Whatever Allah instructs them, they carry it out. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained, or Allah has instructed us, that first we have to make sure that we ourselves, we save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam, and with that, we have to save our family members, our children, from the fire of Jahannam. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib says, these days it is commonly observed that people are practicing on deen in their own individual lives, somebody reading tahajjud, salat, Chash, Ishraq, Awabin, which is excellent. People are performing salat regularly, giving zakat, going for umrah, going for hajj. But if you take a look at the person's family, you'll notice that there's a huge difference between himself and his children. Now, of course, we do not know how much of effort this person is making. We're talking generally, where a person is only bothered about his own ibadat, and he's not making effort on his children, his sons and his daughters. So on one hand, you are excelling and you are making progress in your ibadat. But on the other hand, you are neglecting, you're making true tarbiyat of your children. You have young daughters. You're not telling them about covering their hair. And if they're age, then they should start donning on the hijab, the 5 times salat. We've got young sons at home. So ourselves, we come into the masjid, but we don't bring them along. We don't have the courage to wake them up. Or sometimes we are so sympathetic towards them. Say, poor fellow, the whole night he was studying, so let him sleep. We will see as we go along how detrimental this is, how serious this is. And therefore we find ourselves in this condition. That time comes, because you have spoiled your child, and you have given him all the things that he demanded from you, a time comes when you instruct him, and you wish him to come onto the right path, but he refuses. He refuses. So we must understand it very well, that we cannot attain salvation without having worry, concern, fikr, about protecting our own family from the fire of Jahannam. You cannot say that I was responsible for my own actions. If my children followed some other path, what could I do? No. This is the wrong attitude that a person has. Just as you are so concerned about coming onto the right path, you should have the same amount of concern for your children also to adopt that path. So if you were negligent in performing your duty, then you will be held accountable on the day of Qiyamah. And the hadith of Rasulullah says, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. Every person is like a shepherd. And every person will be answerable on the day of Qiyamah regarding his flock of sheep. So we have children, we have grandchildren, we have nephews, we have nieces, we have wives. So all these people, our subordinates, we are answerable, we are questionable. We have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding them on the day of Qiyamah. How well did we make the tarbiyat? Did we make the tarbiyat or not? Did we nurture them correctly? There's a famous story of a person who comes to Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. My father comes. And he says, my son, he's very rude to me, he's very harsh. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu got upset. He summoned the son. Why aren't you fulfilling the rights of your father? So then the son asked, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, do children also have rights? He says, yes. What are the rights of the children? Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said that the man, the father of course, should have chosen a good, pious mother for the children. In other words, he should have married a pious, righteous woman with good morals, values and akhlaq. And when she gives birth, then she will obviously make the tarbiyat of her children accordingly. So if he chose a loose woman, or a woman who has got no good morals and values, and no good akhlaq, then he has not fulfilled the right of his child. So immediately, this child said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, my father did not find a suitable wife, one who had good character, akhlaq. What is the second right? He says that the father should give a good name for his child. What is your name? So he gave the name which simply means a type of creature or insect which lives in the toilet and lives on the feces. That's the type of name he was given. Now here again, this is a daily occurrence that we are looking for names for our children that are out of Mars and out of space. I really don't understand, serious. We are not interested in keeping the names of our daughters Fatima, Zainab, Maryam, Ruqayya, Khadija, and Aisha. Why? No, we got an Aisha in the family. Okay. Everybody has Khadija. We want something unique. We want such names that the whole Ummah can't pronounce. I swear by Allah, sometimes people ask us such names. If you look in big dictionaries and still we can't find out what the meaning is. No, Mawlana, I saw it in the internet. That internet, our grandfather has compiled those names there. When are we going to understand? We are looking at such silly things. Things of nothing pertaining to our deen. We just want to be unique and different. Some of those names are all Persian names. Some of the names have no meaning whatsoever. Some of the names have a bad meaning. Because they like it, they want to force us to give some good meaning. Why? We want to be different. We want to impress the whole world. Impress the world with bringing your children, giving them good morals and good tarbiyat. They'll become coolness of your eyes and they'll become assets for the deen. And be helpers of Islam. People don't like us to mention this thing, but this is the reality. They'll be looking for ajeeb and ghareeb names. May Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat. The name a person chooses for his children, it has an effect on the person. Like one person had the name Hazan, which means very hard. Nabiya Kareem told him to keep it sahal, which means easy.
This person refused. The ulama mentioned for 7 generations down, there was always hardness in that family, in that tribe. So names have an effect. So then the son asks, this child asks, is there any other right the child has? Umar radiallahu anhu says, yes, that he should be given good Islamic education. Ta'aleem. He should know how to read Quran. Kalamullah. He should know how to pray his salat. And the other aspects of deen. So if the child is not given these rights, then obviously he'll become like this child became, and he began to hate his father. He was harsh, cruel, no tarbiyat was done. Umar radiallahu anhu was so upset with the father, and he said that you did not give this child his correct rights. So now you are blameworthy. People say, what if the children do not obey you? In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to save ourselves and our families from the fire. These days when you tell people to keep their children deeni ta'lim, send your child to the maktab. Brothers, we were discussing the other day, it is only the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in this country, Allah's special mercy descends through the efforts of our mashayikh, ulama, akabir who visited this country, and the ulama who made efforts in this country, in every town, the elderly ones. The very first thing they came, they built a masjid, and who did there was a madrasa, a maktab. All our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, if they were here, all went to a madrasa in the afternoon. All learned Ali Batasa. All went to an apa, or to some molana, some ustad. Things have changed now. So now we are taking out this maktab system out of our lives. We don't see the importance of it. Believe me, because of this, the child will not be able to recite Quran Sharif properly. He will not know those basic du'as and kalimas that we learnt and which we can rattle off. Ask some elderly person in the masjid. And he will remember that Zarur Muslimin. Remember all those du'as properly. And today you find a person who is in matric and ask him simple du'as, he does not know. So when this afternoon maktab, madrasa, mashallah, many places there is a maktab, we should send our children. That 1 hour, 1.5 hour, 2 hours, we shouldn't say, no, now he's got so many others, so much of work, and he has got for this tuition, and that sport activity, and he's got this to do, and that to do. So we make excuses on behalf of the child. In reality, we're depriving of the child to become a good reciter of the Quran. Don't we want our children to become hufaz? So when we have taken away, or when we have deprived our children from good deeni ta'aleem, then as a result of this, we will find our child will not have the good tarbiyat and correct nurturing. So people say that when you tell people to give the children good deeni ta'aleem, bring them closer to Islam, so that they may stop making gunas, what do they say? That we try. But everybody is corrupt today. Look at that Maulana's children. Look at that Mufti Sahib's children. Look at that person's children. You see? Again, we worry about the next person and we use that as a scapegoat. And we point fingers at other people's children. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves and your own children, your own family from the fire of Jahannam. So we say, everybody is corrupt. What can we do? How long must I keep on speaking to my child? How long must I keep on making the tarbiyat of my child? What must I do now? They don't want to change their lives. They don't want to change their direction. So then in reply to this argument, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib says, they should ponder over Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu salam. How long did he make an effort? 950 years. 950 years. He made effort amongst his people. You think he must have told his son just a couple of times to adopt Sirat-e-Mustaqim and bring iman? No. right till the last moment, when his son had climbed the mountain and the waves and the flood was coming, right till that moment, وَنَادَى نُوحٌ ابْنَهُ. Nuh alayhi salam is shouting at that point also, "Oh my beloved son, accept iman. Come on to sirat mustaqim. Don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Right till that point. So he cried so much. He made such great efforts. So Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu salam tried desperately for his son. He had four sons, but one disbelieved. He rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nuh alayhi salam was unable to save him from the flood. But he made every effort right till the last moments of that son's life. He made an effort. So therefore we say, we also have to make such an effort on our children. And don't just see that now they have gone, adopted another path. So now we have to sit back content or complacent and we cannot do anything. And we tried and we did our job. No. We still have to make an effort. We still have to cry. And a parent's dua for the child is accepted. Amongst duas which are mustajaba, accepted, comes in hadith, da'watul walid liwaladi. Al-walid here refers to mother and father, parents. When they make dua for their children, Allah Ta'ala answers the dua. So we should never give up hope. We should never give up hope. Continue making dua and making effort. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, if your child walks towards the fire, thinking that it's something very beautiful and something that will give him comfort, what will you do? You just sit there in the lounge and watch him going towards the fire? Or will you run towards him and will you save him? You will make sure that the child does not get burnt. And even if it means that you yourself get burnt and you are injured in the process, but you will make sure you go and you try and save your child from getting burnt. So like that, this fire of the akhirat which Allah has mentioned in this verse, upon which there are strong and stern angels guarding it. They're not smiling at any person. They're very severe. Whatever Allah commands, they enact it. They never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one place, there's no bribery and corruption. You can never bribe that angel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleading to us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. As the Mufti Taqi Sahib says, there was a person I know, well educated, deendar, offered tahajjud namaz. His son received some worldly education and he managed to get some good job somewhere. One day the father came to me and said, "My son is so educated, got such a good job, and now he enjoys a certain position in society. However, he's become a bit unreligious. But he's got a very good career ahead of him." Mufti Sahib says, you can well imagine the way he said, "a bit unreligious, a bit." It sounds like it is nothing to worry about. Something very trivial. Although this man himself was deendar. He said, "My son is a bit unreligious." He says, "My father, Mufti Shafi Sahib, used to narrate an incident of a man who died. People thought he was alive. He called the doctor, he checked up, examined him. So the doctor said the whole of his body is okay. It's just that he's got no life in him. So similarly, the man that said about his son, mashallah, he's got a very good career. So only that he's a bit unreligious." As if to say that a bit unreligious is nothing wrong. Today we worry about everything but our deen. If the deen was so important, then we should not only offer our salat alone in the masjid, but we bring along our children as well. And this is the real career. The career towards the akhirat. Nobody is saying they shouldn't have any dunya career, but not at the expense of our deen. We make every effort to give them every comfort for dunya, but we forget this. This naran waqooduha an-nasu wal-hijara. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat and understand. He says, these days the children dominate their parents. He says there is a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is explained in long hadith, that if someone tries to please any makhluk of Allah at the cost of displeasing Allah ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala puts him in control of that makhluk. You try and please any makhluk of Allah in such a way that Allah becomes displeased in your action, because the person is, or you are pleasing that person, that makhluk of Allah, in something which is in contrary to Allah Ta'ala's commandments. So Allah becomes naraz. What Allah does, Allah entrusts you to that person. And now that person has authority and control over you. For example, a person commits a sin to please some makhluk of Allah Ta'ala. And as a result, he angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusts that person to that makhluk normally. Our present condition is such that we do everything. We want to please our wives, and of course we should please them. But here we're talking about pleasing them when it is breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our children. And hence, we are more concerned about giving them a very high position in society. So consequently, what happens? We do not provide for them any deen education. We don't give them the correct tarbiyat. And we earn Allah Ta'ala's anger. So when this happens, those same children then begin to dominate us when we grow up. Those same children for whom you gave your entire life, you sacrificed all your free time, you worked so hard for the child, and you spoiled the child with every request the child made. It's amazing, not amazing, it's shocking. Small little kids, all got cell phones. And no ordinary cell phone. They've got such cell phones which even elderly people don't have. And all the time, what are they busy doing? We think they'll keep them occupied with one or two games. No. They call it the smartphone. The kid is also smart today. As though they are born with that information of that technology, of how everything operates. Really ourselves, we don't know how to operate these things. Call a small little kid and he just does everything for you so quickly. So we give them everything they want. Besides deen, besides tarbiyat, there's no ta'lim. We don't teach them responsibilities. We don't teach them how to respect elders. We go to some places and you see the child, the way the child talks to the elders, the way the child talks to the parents in front of the visitors, shocking. Our parents will just show us big eyes. Immediately we keep quiet. And therefore you find that they had that type of respect for the elders in the past. Now all that respect is gone. The child talks as he wishes, does as he wishes, demands, puts up tantrums, and the parent spoils the child. So what happens? A time comes when the same old parent, he cannot say anything. In front of his own eyes, the child will dress up, she'll dress up as she wishes, and they would move around freely. And we know what happens after that. May Allah Ta'ala protect us, protect the entire ummah. We will complain and lament over our condition of the youth and this and that, and why is my child doing this? Brothers, you and I, we have to introspect ourselves, see our own weaknesses. We are falling short. Tarbiyat of the child. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look and see how he made tarbiyat of the children. Person comes and begins to eat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Little child sitting on the lap of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's a plate of food. And the child is now, he puts his hand into that plate of food, whether there was rice or whatever food, and his hand is wandering throughout the plate, eating from all sides of the plate. Nabi Kareem some teaches the child. Sammillah, say Bismillah. Wakul biyaminik, eat with your right hand. Wakul mimma yalik, and eat from that which is on your side. little child is being taught by Rasulullah SAW. All these things may look small. Mufti Taqi Sahib say, they're not small, they're extremely important. We have to teach the child how to enter the toilet, what du'as must read before entering the toilet. When you come out, this is what you must do. You should cover your hair before going to the toilet. You should wash your hands, teach them taharat, paaki, napaaki. If every day in the end, Mufti Taqi Sahib says, all we need to, all that is required of us, is take out only 10 minutes. Is 10 minutes so difficult? 10 minutes in which we will utilize with sitting with our wife and children, and we have some ta'aleem that takes place. And the easiest, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi Fazale Amal, is the easiest. Otherwise, now we'll take this book, we don't know who's the author, is the right contents is okay, is it the right mazhab, is it the right aqidah, we'll have problems. Just take Fazale Amal, you won't go wrong, inshallah. Or any of our Akabir's kitabs, and we read from there, just a little. Let the children read, if they are able to read, let them read. This is a tried and tested, it's proven. First thing that happens, Allah brings barakah to that home. And second thing, those children then become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have we introduced our children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? One person said he went to the barber. So Baba was cutting his hair. A little child came with his father, Muslim. And then the child saw this person who had a beard. The child got a shock. Asking the father, what's this? Father was clean shaven. The father couldn't explain. He just like tried to shoo the child. The Baba explained. He said, this is sunnat. And he explained to the child that we are Muslims and we're supposed to have a beard. See, when the child is not taught, then the child will look at any person with a beard as somebody alien. Let alone non-Muslim children, their own Muslim children, when they see a woman with parda, they get a shock. They're so accustomed to their own mothers wearing any type of clothing, hair open, half naked. So for them, people who are deendar and dressed in the correct Islamic garb, they find this very strange. So we have to develop an environment, a mahol at home. All these advices of trying and getting our children in the right direction, right tarbiyat. The mahol of at the home, we heard the Sheikh Yunus from France. He spoke about a woman from France who accepted Islam. And when she accepted Islam, she was a true Muslim. The very first thing she did, she established ta'lim at the house. He says, I can promise you, I take the name of Allah. A time came when if anybody went into her home, they would think this is a madrasa. After Fajr, she's teaching her children. Afternoon also, in the evening, she's teaching her children. Tarbiyah, ta'lim of Quran, hadith, making zikrullah. So those children become the coolness of the parents' eyes. Those children become the coolness of the parents' eyes. May Allah Ta'ala give us children who will become pious and the coolness of our eyes. Do not lie to children. You know the famous incident of a woman, of Sahabiya, and Rasulullah was sitting nearby, and her little child was playing, and she called the child, and she closed her fingers, her fist, and she said, come here, I'll give you something. As the child was still coming towards her, Rasulullah asked her, do you really mean to give the child something? Do you have something in your hand? She says, yes. And she opened, there's a date I wish to give the child. He says, if you were pretending that you're giving the child something and you were lying to the child, then that would have been serious. That would tantamount to speaking lies. So if you keep on doing such a thing to the children, what will happen? They will also become accustomed to the tape type of thing and they will deceive others when they grow up. They will deceive others. A child's mind is like a sponge. The uncle is smoking a cigarette, and the little child, as he grows, begins to smoke a cigarette. When he's reprimanded, he says, "Uncle is smoking. So why can't I smoke?" The child listens not only with the ears, but with the eyes also. The child observes everything. And therefore, it is imperative that the parents, not the appa in the madrasa, not the maulana in the masjid and the madrasa, parents have to be role models. When we ourselves are not role models, we expect that appa in the afternoon, 1.5 hour, suddenly she must make such tarbiyat of your child, and she alone must be a role model. No, this is not fair. This is not correct. As parents, we should be role models. From the time the child is born, who looks after the child? Not the parents. We get some maid, some domestic worker, and the parents are all gone. Father is gone to work, mother is busy roaming around in a car, busy shopping here and there, everywhere. Who looks at the child? Is that non-Muslim worker going to make tarbiyat of the child correctly, teach it Allah and Rasulullah? Will that non-Muslim worker say Bismillah, eat with the right hand, teach the child proper way of making istinja? Will the person teach the child about Allah, zikrullah? No. Allah Ta'ala, when Allah gives us so much of affluence, then this is what happens. We become so busy in our own world. And those things that we are supposed to be doing, sowing the seed correctly to reap the true crops that we wish to see and we desire, it's lost. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of making correct tarbiyat of our children. Nabi Kareem Sam had mentioned that the best gift any father can give his child, it's not a Porsche, not a Mercedes Benz, no. The best gift any father can give his child is adab, good manners and etiquettes, akhlaq. If your child learns good etiquettes and manners, Allah forgive us, brothers. The truth is the reality. Go to any one of our institutions, Muslim institutions. We don't take any names. Go to any one of our madrasas and see the behavior of the children. And go to some institution of the non-Muslim. You see a big difference. The way they are running their schools, amount of etiquette, manners, discipline. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh, Jalalabad, in one of his majlises, some of the brothers heard it when we discussed it in the morning, he had explained when he went to the universities in England, such discipline, nobody can just barge in and just come in, go to our madrasas, the parent wants to see his child, he doesn't seek any permission from any principal or ustad, he just walks in, into the dormitory, into the madrasa, I'm paying fees, my child, I'm so and so. So he'll just go in and he shout and he scream, "Hey, where's my son?" We become such rude people. Allah forgive us. It's not, the maqsad is not the people sitting in front of me, it's myself. And I wish that this passes on to many, many people. We are all full of sins and mistakes. We all got weaknesses. All of us make blunders. But these are things. Whole majlis, he spoke on this. He said, "Come to our madrasa, come to our darul room." Nobody seeks permission. He just enters as though he is the owner of the institution. And even if he's part of the trustee also, still, you got to follow the regulations. Mannerisms is lost. We don't have the etiquette and manners. We are no longer polite to our elders and seniors. And see in some of the schools where they're non-Muslims, Allah forgive us. We have to give this example. But there's so much of discipline. The manner in which they greet. There's an assembly in the morning which everybody has to sit and stand correctly and upright. There are rules and regulations. There is punishment for offenses. Minor offenses for us. They are minor. Yet they are given big punishment for it. Why? They want those people to develop into gentlemen and have good polished manners and etiquettes. They must be people who will be looked up in society. We have Quran, we have Hadith, we have Sunnah. We have every solution in our hand. But we are not applying it. If we applied it, In our own masjid, you will see the behavior different after salat. We can't even read namaz in the back. I've been crying about this so long. People say, Mawlana, you must have this board and that board. But if you look around, sometime you're about to tell a youngster and you see elderly people also talking. So you're just going to take a U-turn. So if the masjid, the sanctity of the masjid is gone, why? Because everybody is talking so loudly in the back after. This fard, we've got sunnat, we've got. If the parent makes sure the child reads salat, and there are many youngsters, mashallah, they're reading salat next to their parents. So you see the difference then in those children from others. Just go back, there's no topi, funny kind hairstyle, t-shirt, pull out the cell phone. They come into the masjid for those purposes. Where's ibadat of Allah Ta'ala? Where's connecting to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? We as parents have to teach our children this. Nabi Kareem said, command your child when he's 7 years old to read salat. When he's 10 years old and he's not performing, adribuhum, give him a light, a few strokes. Teach him, but you could have come to the masjid. You have to make sajda to Allah. Who is your Allah? Who is your creator? Who's your nourisher? Who's the cherisher? Who's the sustainer? Who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What love you supposed to have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How you should be respecting the masjid? How you should be respecting your seniors? But the masjid toilets are places used for smoking. Youngsters will smoke there. Outside in the parking, screaming, shouting, playing around. May Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat. Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi, his tarbiyat was made in such a way, brothers, I'm telling you, we have read RBT and we've heard the story with somebody the very first time I read it. I also felt so sad for Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi. His father was extremely strict. His father was a great alim. His ustad also. Hazrat Shaykh was a youngster. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi who came to Stengel, the elderly people who had seen him, know what ronak, what environment was created in Stengel. And after that we see so much of good took place in deen, in this country. May Allah fill his qabr with noor. Two incidents which have been mentioned in his biography. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi's father had given him a pillow to use. So he was always carrying his little pillow, little child. One day Hazrat Shaykh's father asked him for that pillow. So innocently, Hazrat Shaykh said, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya, he was young, Abba, my pillow? For that he got one tight smack. Now outwardly, what's wrong in that? His father was very far-sighted. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah said, at that moment, I also became upset with my father in my heart. I felt very, very bad about it. I began to cry. He says, Wallah, years later I realized that what my father did was correct. Why? Since when you have possessions and you are the master of things that are just lent to you. Since when you are the owner of these things. It's my pillow, I'm the father. I have granted you this for you to use it. Since when it becomes my, you see it is my, I and my, mera, these are very serious diseases of the heart which you and I cannot pick up. So as the Shaykh's father makes his tarbiyat immediately from the time he's small so that love of dunya does not come into his heart. And he would not allow him to stand in two consecutive salat, for example, Maghrib and Isha or Asr and Maghrib. In Salat, Imam is performing, and we are all Muqtadis. If Hazrat Shaykh had to stand for two consecutive Salat next to a certain person, the same person, his father will reprimand him. That means you've got some contact with some person in the masjid. You've got to have no contact with any person. Your job is to learn Quran whole day. Read Fazail Amal in Fazail of Ramadan. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi's father should make him read the whole Quran Sharif and then only give him food to eat. And then he became Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullahi. If you read his kitabs, mind-boggling what he has written. Thousands and thousands of muridin, mutalliqin throughout the world. The 40 durood that we recite, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi came to South Africa, then they had started it.
So even here in this masjid we recited, Hazrat Shaykh is getting the sawab for it. Fazal Amal throughout the world is being, every jamaat that goes, Fazal Amal. So his tarbiyat was made. Now we're not asking ourselves, now we're not saying go and spank our children from that. They won't understand what's happening. We're going to make the tarbiyat with love, affection. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Oh my beloved son, my beloved daughter, sit with them. Quality time. If we are going to scream and shout at the top of our voices when that masoom child is leaving home, husband is fighting with the wife and she's screaming and what's going to happen? The whole day the child is gone to school and thinking that my mother must be hurt, my father is shouting, oh this will happen, that will happen. Now the mind of the child is distracted. Come back home in the evening, same story. So we're not spending quality time with the children. We're not teaching them the correct values of deen, shariat, about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not showing them manners and etiquette, adab of eating, wearing clothes, what type of clothes they should wear. If the child from the time he is small, she is small, the correct deeni clothes is given to them, inshallah you will see automatically, the child will grow up wearing the right libas, right clothing. But from small, we shave and cut the hair in some funny styles. And from small, we say, no, man, he's not a molana or something. What are you making wear topi for? Why are you making the little girl wear scarf for? So we're actually giving them the clothing of the enemies of deen. And we are so proud. Oh, she looks so pretty, huh? So lovely she looks. So from small, she's growing up with exposing her arms and her legs, everything. And all cutting her hair and applying so much of makeup on the child. So when she grows up to a teen, suddenly now you expect her to change. It's very difficult. Very, very difficult. So give the correct tarbiyat of our children, ta'alim at home. There's so many other things that Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib has mentioned. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of making amal kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oon an ra'iyatihi. We all are shepherds and we are answerable for our flock on the day of Qiyamah. And therefore we shouldn't lose hope. Sometime many times the child has gone off Sirat al-Mustaqim. Allah bring them back onto Sirat al-Mustaqim. May Allah help us to inculcate in those children true morals, values, akhlaq, teach them by example. We have to practice before we preach. But the moment we are telling our children everything, you must do this, that child absorbs everything and then the child works it out. My father is not doing this. My mother doesn't do this. So why are they telling me to do this? I'm sure they are supposed to be doing the right thing themselves. So if we're not true role models, we will never expect them to develop the correct tarbiyat. And of course, a very important thing is we should be fair to them, to all of our children. Treat them equally with justice. If you're going to favor one child, automatically the other one is going to feel dejected and rejected. And this has a very serious impact on that child. Very serious impact on the child. So we have to share. There are many ahadith and incidents where a sahabi came, Ya Rasulullah, I want you to be a witness. I've given this land to this child of mine. Nabi said, have you got other children? He said, yes. Given them same? He said, no. In other words, this sahabi was favoring this child. The mother had insisted, give this child. Nabi Karim said, no, I cannot witness zulam. What you're doing is zulam. Khair, there's a masail regarding this. Point here is we should treat them equally and fairly. And talk to them, they are human beings, they're not animals. Don't scream at them. If you speak to them, inshallah they will also speak in the same way. How we speak to our children, this is how they will respond. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana. الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك